Baruch atah Adonai, Eloheinu, Melech haolam, shehakol neyeh b'vorah.
Amen.
Turning on this cold Monday afternoon to Shlomo Melas, warming words of Mishlei, let's have a look at Perek Yetzes, Pasuk Tezvav, and writes the Chochem Mikol Adam, Amida, and that Shlomo often speaks about atzlo tapil tardema, atzlos, laziness, indolence, somebody who is sloth-like, they are lazy in their avodas Hashem, and even lazy in basic physical productivity. What's going to result? Tapil tardema. It's going to cause a person to fall into sleep, and not just tam ashena. Tardem, of course, is a deep slumber. The same way the Rambam writes in Uchas Tshuva, Parakim Olach Adalit. Ur Yishena Mishinasna Mekitzu Nadana Mitar Damascha. First, you have to wake up. Uru Mishinasna, from your sleep. The Kitzu. A Kitzu is Vayikatz Paro, when a person is having a deep sleep, having those dreams, and that is the REM type of sleep. That's the Tardema, deep slumber. So laziness doesn't just bring a person to sleep. Everybody needs sleep. Sleep, Rav Tzadok HaKohen writes, is something that's absolutely necessary in life, not just as scientists and researchers have proven, that it provides an opportunity for what's known as cortical plasticity, for all the neuron connections to be made, and for the long-term memory to store all those short-term memories. There are so many basic scientific benefits of sleep. And about a sleep, Rav Tzadok HaKohen writes, is to replenish the kofos. You have to go ahead and go to sleep. It's begeder a yirida l'tzorach aliyah. You have to go to sleep at night to reinvigorate oneself, to replenish the kofos. And we're not talking about a shena here. We're talking about tardema. Tardema is something you don't just go into a deep slumber. Shena is your holech lishon. You go to sleep. And notice the terminology over here is tap your tardema. You go into a deep slumber. That is the Indian of Mapola. You're falling deep into that deep, ever deeper slumber. And that's the idea of what laziness brings a person to. All right, Rabbeinu Yonah. A lazy person always looks for opportunities to avoid going to work. To avoid doing any type of work. Vein beruchanias, vein begashmias. And not only that, but even when the lazy person eventually makes his way to work, and we know that a person who is a Zoris, who is acting with alacrity and zeal, accomplishes more, writes Rabbeinu Yonah, in 1 hour than a lazy person in 2 hours. And some say it's the same thing with a happy person. A happy person by nature is excited, is invigorated, and is going to accomplish far more than a person who is lazy or a person who's depressed. But then Rabbeinu Yonah adds in his Perusha Mishli as follows. The chiddush in this pasuk is, we know if you're lazy, you're not going to run to work. We know if you're lazy, when you finally make it to work, you're not going to be all that productive. But oh, nezek acher tavi atzla, which is tap your tardema, ki achavitz b'malacha yo'or leiv adam aleh, va'atzal l'shein lo chavitz ba, tolet atzlusur tardema. What's going to take place? Someone who enjoys his work. It's going to constantly arouse and inspire within him to want to grow, to want to continue producing. I'm shaking the lazy person, even when he finally makes his way to work, and even when he starts working, what's going to happen, since his heart and mind and soul are not into it, gradually what's going to happen, he's going to put his head down on the desk, next thing you know, he's going to have to start dreaming, he's going to go into a deep sleep. The idea being is that what keeps us going? You have to be riled up, you have to be energetic, and dynamic and productive. The lazy person is going to be falling into slumber and is not going to be accomplished. This is again being begashmius, being meruchnius. Writes the Medrash, the Yakut Shimoni in the beginning of Rashis, Techilas Mapela Shena. But there again, the sleep, we're talking about a deep slumber. What was the beginning of downfall? The Medrash says, Hashem put Adam into a sleep. What happened? Only when he went into a sleep, then Chava was created, and that started the sin of the Chet Eitz Hadas overall. And the point is, don't go to sleep. That is the main thing. It's not about Chava, it's about, the Medrash just wants to bring out that point, that everything starts when you go to sleep. That's why we have to go in, and again, it's not Stam Shena, but it's a Tadema, never allow oneself. That's why one of the Memchas Kenyanei Torah is, Miat Shena, not sleeping as much as you need. Again, we have to get all the strength, but it means we're not taking a luxurious sleep. We're not going deep into sleep. We're not saying, let me go to sleep, and oh, don't tell me Sunday morning, whenever I wake up, 11, 12, 1 o'clock. The point is, we're sleeping as much as we need to. We're not going to make it overly luxurious. We're not going to get into that deep slumber.
The Chumash never says that Hashem will come out of the Tadema.
That is true, but we see from the Psukim, again, it's only when there needs to be a lesson. Why? That's part of the whole idea that why did Hashem have to put him to sleep? He could have created Chava without putting him to sleep. Part of the idea, Blazer Gordon writes, he has Likutim on the Torah in the back of his Shalos and Tshuvos, and part of the whole thing is teach us a lesson. And which we see that Adam Arishim woke up, but we don't need to tell you that unless there's a lesson. How people go into sleep, waking up, we need to tell you, Vayikatz Paro Vinei Chalo. When there's a lesson, so there's a lesson in going to sleep, right? Hashem didn't even have to put him to sleep. Just go ahead and create Chava. So the point is that Hashem wants to teach us a lesson, that if you go to sleep, sleep often can be the beginning of a person's downfall, person sleeping too much. Rabbeinu Yonah even writes that. That nichol on this posik is oversleeping, and sleeping too much is also terrible for the soul. That means a deep sleep. We're not talking about the sleep that a person needs, and of course there are times when you need a deep sleep and you're exhausted. And the idea is that a person who's lazy is going to constantly be falling into those deep sleeps. It's going to be a part of his life, and he will not be accomplishing.
But in the case of
Gracious,
we're not talking, it's a little bit of an unfair kind of a juxtaposition.
Yeah.
Because in the case of Gracious, because Hashem, by Yachal Hashem Tadema.
Yes, that
so
is
it
true.
It wasn't a self-induced Tadema. It's not like...
That is true. Hashem put it to sleep. So part of what Blazer Gordon is bringing out is, why does Torah have to tell me that? Why does the Torah have to tell me that Hashem put him to sleep? And just tell me that Adam went, he was lying down, whether he went to sleep or Hashem put him to sleep, and tell me that Chava was then created. So he says, part of the idea is that, what do I need to know a person went to sleep? I had the same way Yaakov Avinu. There's a chiddush in it. When it says in the beginning of Ayetze, Vayivka, Mamakam, Vayolan, Sham, what do I have to know that he went to sleep for? Comes along Rashi, the chiddush is, only now did he go to sleep. Mashma, that he didn't sleep for the previous 14 years. How do you know that? Maybe the Torah's just telling me he's tired, he went to sleep. So the Torah doesn't need to tell me when the elders went to sleep when they got up. Always has to be a lesson. So what do I need to know? Rav Blazer Gordon says, and that Hashem was Vayapol and Tadema. Hashem is teaching us, and that is Kapil Tardema. And then you see it all started with a Hapola into a Tardema. That's so that we can know the lesson, that we have to be very careful. But that is the natural state of laziness. That's why Yaakov Weinberg used to say, what's the number one Yetzirah that everybody in the world has to battle? Atzlus. Atzlus laziness is the idea that our natural predilection is towards what? Towards being horizontal. Because Adam was made what? Horizontal, off from an Adama. We come from the Adama. A person's natural inclination is to go back to Yeshoresh. No matter where we live in life, we always want to go back home. We always want to revisit home. We always want to see our old homes. You have people, even Holocaust survivors. Again, some because of the Holocaust, they don't want to go back to Europe. But I know of countless cases, people went back, they wanted to see the homes that they grew up in 60, 70, 80 years ago. There's a natural pull, it's a magnet, and that nostalgic feeling within us, we always want to go back to the Shoresh. What's the most nostalgic feeling within mankind? To go back to the Adama, to go back to the ground. How we came from the ground, we go back to the ground. But the idea is, well, we want to lie on the ground. We want to lie perhaps on a bed, perhaps in a hammock. But what? Perhaps lying out, getting a suntan. The idea is that we want to relax. We want to be horizontal. We want to take it easy. And life is, you got to stand up. You got to get moving. That's what the Maral points out in his Derech Chaim. What is the idea of a Tzelem Elokim? Tzelem Elokim is we're the only creature in the world that stands fully upright. Think about it, even a giraffe. Giraffe is not fully upright. If you take the gorillas, the chimpanzees, they're mostly... But they're not fully upright. We're the only ones that are mamish straight. Right? Giraffe is still, it's got the four legs and its neck. We're the only ones who are constantly walking fully upright. Morale says to highlight that the brain is in control and the brain goes down to the lave and goes down to the cloyos, the kidneys, and the covered, etc. And we walk fully upright, that highlights the tselem locus. When we are lying horizontal, we don't see the tselem locus in the person. We don't see that we're in control. Because when you're sleeping, you're not in control. You're not accomplishing. So it's Yerida L'Tzorach Aliyah, right? So Tzodik, we have to go to sleep. We have to reinvigorate, replenish the kochos. But the time of accomplishing is standing up. But our natural inclination is we're always looking. When can we get a nap? When can we go to sleep? When can we lie down? And the idea is we got to stand up. We got to get moving. We have to accomplish. We have to keep growing.
Look at the word tadema. I see raid and dam. We know that when a person is lying down, blood goes down. And when he wakes up, he's very woozy. So maybe, I don't like that medrash, by the way. I think that, you know, I learned once that Adam, after when he was talking to Chava and repeating what Hashem told him, Hashem also, but he did this to form a siyam for himself. He told him, he's the one who told her, don't touch the tree. So when the snake later on came and said, don't touch the tree, she said, oh yeah, that's what Adam told me. And of course, nothing happened, so she thought she was home free. But maybe Adam was a little woozy when he woke up. And that's why...
The point is not the creation of Chava. The point is, we just want you to know that everything was great in the world until he went to sleep. Sleep started, not sleep, and that produced Chava. The idea is that the downfall started with the sleep, and that started the progression. Meaning that, you're right, Hashem put him to sleep. But the point is, and that's why he uses also the Lashon HaPala, beginning of a person's downfall, Tchilas Mapela Sheina, writes the Medrash, beginning of a person's downfall. The idea is that Hashem's teaching us a lesson, and that if you're sleeping too much, if you're going into deep slumbers, and that could cause problems. And it's not the focus on Chava. It's the focus on the first start.
I think Esther Wien repeated, I'm not sure I got it right, but I think that Esther Wien repeated in regard to the bracha that we say in the morning, Mapil Sheina Meinai, that Rav Schwald says on it, that as she said, that it doesn't tell us that Adam was ever aroused from the Tardema, and that when we say brachos in the morning, we're asking for Hashem to open our eyes out of that Tardema that man was put into at that time.
That's very nice. Many Meforshim even say that on Pokeach Ivrim. What do you mean Pokeach Ivrim? We're not blind, we're still saying Pokeach Ivrim. It means the spiritually blind. We want Hashem to open our awareness and alertness so we can see things with clarity in life. 100%. That's only all part of it. Very good. Sa'atzla tabu tadema. Laziness brings a person into deep slumber. V'nefesh remia tirah. And a nefesh of ramos, of deceit and duplicity. Tirah, lashon rav, is going to go hungry. Is never going to be satisfied. Will always remain impoverished. And what is the connection? Continues Rabbeinu Yonah. I said, granted, Shlomo just told us, we want you to know, don't be lazy. If you're lazy, you're not going to accomplish. You'll always be looking to sleep. But the Hemshech is right, Rabbeinu Yonah, so you're going to do what? You're going to be a Zoris. You're going to be Omel, you're going to be Miyageya, you're going to be filled with energy. And you'll say, what? So now that you got the energy, now I'm going to be successful. But it's only if the energy is channeled correctly. Meaning what? If the energy is going to be used to engage in acts of illegal trading and deceit and duplicity and double dealing, you should know Hashem is going to let you know the upshot will be you will not be successful. You will lose that money. That's the idea of another midah that's going to bring a person down. You won't accomplish in society and work if you're always engaged in deep slumber. And even if you say you're going to be awake and alert, and that's going to be the key to success, but not if you're going to be immersed in double dealing, because the nefesh remiah, and that becomes one and one with your soul, that you're always looking to steal and to be clever and getting money out of people. Ultimately, you're going to go hungry. We know, of course, Lavan lost so much of his wealth. Yaakov Avinu ends up, again, whether it's folklore, whether it's as others write, and that Hashem revealed to him genetic codes. That's what Yehuda Felix writes in Chayvitz and Echmet Torah. But turning back the pages to Yaakov Avinu's departure, and Parshas Vayetze, when he leaves the house of Lavan, so what happens in the end? He comes with all the flock, all the different sheep, and Lavan gets very upset. We find an unbelievable maisa. Hashem Sejron used to say over that the Ashach HaKodesh we know was the Magid in the 1500s, the 16th century, in Sfat by the Arizal. At one time, the Alshech was darshaning, and the Alshech gave a drasha on 100 different approaches of duplicity that Lavan was doing to deceive Yaakov. And he gave 100 different mahalchim, 100 different aspects of how the Ramai Lavan tried to go in and continuously deceive Yaakov Avinu. And so all of a sudden, in the middle of the drasha, the Arizal starts to laugh. Arizal starts to laugh, and the Alshech doesn't understand what's going on. So after he finishes the drasha, and he says, Arizal, he says, can I ask, why were you laughing in the middle of my drasha? As the Ariya Kutta said, because I saw the neshama of Lavan come down to the Beis Meiros to listen to your 100 different pshatim of how he tried to deceive Yaakov. So he says, so no, so why'd you laugh? He says, because when you got up the numbers, whatever it was, 72 and 73, Lavan said, shucks, I didn't think of those. And he was upset that he didn't think of two of the ways that you mentioned. And he says, and I saw Lavan get upset. He says, that's what I was laughing about. And that's the Arizal. That's what it was in the Beis Medrash. You have to know, the Arizal Shom Shadron went on to say that, can you imagine who was in the Beis Medrash at that day and age? You had the Arizal, who was the Hasidish Rebbe. You had the Beis Yosef of Yosef Cairo in the 1500s, who was the Rav. You had the Sefer Charedim, who was the Shamus in the Shul. And you had the Alshech, who was the Magid. He was the Darshan. The Alshech wanted to learn Kabbalah by the Arizal, and he told him no. He looked at the Alshech and he said, and a previous Gilgal, a previous reincarnate, you already mastered Kabbalah. In the world of Pardes, Shat, Remes, Grusod, the reason your neshama had to come back is because you were a huge Tamachachal, but you never mastered Drush. So I'm not going to teach you Kabbalah. He didn't let him learn a lot of Kabbalah. Alshech was still big in Kabbalah, but the Arizal wouldn't take him on as one of his close inner circle of Tamidim for Kabbalah. You have to master Drush. And you look at the Alshech HaKadosh on not just Chumash, but on all of Tanakh, and you see how much he wrote. There's even a separate sefer, the Kitzur Alshech, being Mekatzer what he wrote, and even that's not too thin. Alshech HaKadosh wrote unbelievable drush. That was because of the tzivoy of the Arizal. So we had those four gedolim in the Beis Medrash at the same time. So and so John went on to say, imagine what it was like when you were the Shliach Tzibur. You had to wait for all four to finish one Esra. I say, you had to look around. You couldn't just wait for the Rav. You had to wait for the Arizal and Rabbi Yosef Cairo and the Sefer Charedim and the Alshech, all these four gedolim in the same shul, to finish one Esra. So there was one time, and when three out of the four finished one Esra, the Rav, the Beis Yosef, are still davening. And the Arizal signaled to the Shliach Tzibur, I want you to begin Chazar Sashatz. Couldn't understand? Well, now I'm waiting for the Rav to finish one Esra. Says, you go on. And before the end of davening, he signaled to the Gabbai, I want you to lock the doors of the Beis Knesses to ensure that nobody leaves the shul early. Everyone has to hear the Arizal's announcement. They get to the end of davening. Arizal steps up to the bima and he says, I want to announce, I don't want anyone to chas v'shalom think that I told the Shliach Tzibur to start Chazar Sashatz before the Rav finished Mon Esrei. He says, you see, because I looked at the Beis Yosef, and he already more or less finished Shmon Esrei, but he was in the middle of thinking of learning when he was at the end of his Shmon Esrei. Because the Beis Yosef, we know, wrote the Beis Yosef from the Torah, and he wrote the entire Shulchan Aruch. And at that moment, he was thinking of a big sugya that he was working on the Shulchan Aruch. His mind was diverted in Shmon Esrei. He was holding an Elokai Yitzor, and he was thinking about a sugya learning. He says, we have to wait for the Rav to finish Shmon Esrei, but we don't have to wait for the Rav to finish davening in the middle of Shmon Esrei, learning in the middle of Shmon Esrei. And the Beis Yosef smiled, and he got up and he said, I want everyone to know the Beis Yosef is right. The Arizal is right. And that he was thinking of learning, Arizal said, that we don't have to wait for. So, Lavan, of course, was that Ramai, trying to deceive Yaakov at every opportunity, and he did it with enthusiasm, he did it with an excitement. So now Rabbeinu Yonah says is the connection. You're going to think, okay, as long as I'm not an otzel, and I'm not sleeping too much, I'll be dynamic and energetic, overzealous, and I'll go in and be productive at work, but not if you're going to do things that are not begedav asisa yoshev atob eni yoshem lakecha. If you're going to be deceitful, Lavan did not walk out successful. In the end of the day, you will not succeed if you are a nefesh, a ramiya tirov. It always has to be in the form of honesty. A film the Gaon learned the pasuk, interestingly enough, the opposite way. And the Vilna Gaon writes, it's not atzla tapo tardema. It's not that laziness brings a person into a deep slumber. On the contrary, all right, the Gra, read the Pasuk, Al yedei tardema hu bon lemidas ha'atzla. And by sleeping too much, ultimately it will be part of your makeup, part of your composition, and it will bring you to the midah of laziness. That's the problem. If you're sleeping too much, you become a lazy person, and it works not just in gashmius, but it's even in ruchnius. If you're going to be sleeping too much, and what's going to happen, you're not going to accomplish in ruchnius, and ultimately you'll be hungry, you'll be left with no Torah, you will not have adequate time to learn. Rashi and the Rabbalik also focus on the intellect. Let's take a look at Rashi. Atzla tamper tademo. Ha'atzla smevila de shena like Rabbi Yona and most mefarshim. Laziness brings to sleep. Zoe amalitza. That's the figure of speech. Aval ha'moshol alamas atzla v'talmudo. But really the lesson over here is someone who is lazy in his learning. What's going to transpire? Sof shesholim devar chochma mimenu v'nirdom. People are going to ask him questions, and what's he going to happen? He's going to fall asleep. And he's going to fall asleep because he is lazy in his learning. And that's the idea of Rav Moshe Feinstein. A woman came once to Rav Moshe and asked for a bracha. And Rav Moshe says, what do you need a bracha for me? He says, I want a bracha from a Baal Mofes, from someone who does miracles. Rav Moshe says, I'm a Poshet Yid, I don't do miracles. Only two miracles have happened to me in my lifetime. And Rav Moshe Feinstein said, miracle number one, says, I never in my life dozed off in the middle of my learning. I can imagine, never in a shiur, and a learning, he never closed his eyes, he never dozed ever in his learning. And miracle number two, which is clearly intertwined, and not only did he never doze in the middle of his learning, but we've mentioned in the past that it takes the average human being 7 minutes to fall asleep. Moshe Feinstein would fall asleep the second he touched his pillow. And I asked the Talmud Rav Elimelech Bluth, who served Moshe for over 20 years, and he says he saw it as well when he would bring Moshe up, and he heard it from the Rebbetzin, and that anytime Moshe went in to take a nap or to go to sleep at night, Mamash, he would touch this pillow, and within seconds, Moshe would be fast asleep. Why? Because that's how makbid he was on his man. The same Moshe who wouldn't doze in the middle of his learning, he'll chat every second, and learn with Amelus, with Yigi, with that measure of Zrizus. And when it came time to go to sleep, he would fall asleep right away, even with his brain running and learning. It was time to shut itself down, time to go to sleep, and that's what took place. Listen to this, Rav Hirsch. We have here Rashi, the Rabag, and learning the focus is on the intellect. The laziness is not the physical laziness, as much as the laziness when it comes to our pursuit of Chachma and our Limud HaTorah. Rav Hirsch collects a lot of psukim that talk about laziness. All throughout the Mishlei, the way Rav Hirsch's commentary works on Mishlei is he's not going pasuk by pasuk. He collects themes and ideas, weaves them together, and then gives a commentary. So he cites a whole slew of psukim about laziness. We see that Shlomo Melech, so many places, not only in this pasuk, we have it again in Chaf Yud Gimel, and not being lazy, we have it in Chaf, pasuk Dalid, and then Mechorv Atzelo Yachrosh, we have again Ayinafshel Atzel, and back in Perek Yud Gimel, pasuk Dalid, a whole slew of psukim all throughout where he talks about the detrimental effects of laziness. In fact, you think about Shlomo Melech, how long of a life did Shlomo have? 52 years. And not only did he give us Shir HaShirim, Koheles, and Mishlei, but look at what he accomplished. Look how many women he married. Again, it wasn't a good thing. How many got married? He was running a kingdom, the mightiest army. Look what he accomplished. He was always doing, always working. How much do you think Shlomo Melech slept? Memela, 1 meter is he going to talk about at the end of the day? And don't be lazy. Azman katsam lacham rabo. You have to accomplish. It always brings to mind, Rav Avram Shor writes in this Haggadah Shel Pesach, Ha'alekef Halibo, V'Nav Rishon Beis, he brings a part by Rav Avram Gorbitz, the Rosh Hashiva in Geitzer. He has a sefer on Pesach Kulav on Fe Arzeel, and he says, fascinating question. We mentioned it here in the past by Haggadah Shel Pesach Shir a couple of years ago. And the Leil Seder is one of the holiest nights in the year. Rav Shlomo Brevder writes in the Sefer Lel Shimur on Medav Mem Vav that he has a Mesorah from the Vilna Gaon. There are more nights, more mitzvahs on Leil HaSeder than on any other night of the year. Anyone remember how many mitzvahs do you have on Leil HaSeder? The Avodrom talks about 12 major categories of mitzvahs. But how many mitzvahs does a person fulfill on the night of the Seder? And writes the Vilna Gaon, 64 mitzvahs. If there's one night not to fall asleep early. Okay, I know everyone's working hard and cleaning up at Pesach. The one night, the Chaparai is 64 mitzvahs. He gets in one night. The Vilna Gaon says more mitzvahs. And then in any other night of the year, the Maral writes in his Rosh Hashem Sagado. And that's why men don the kittel. You become like Malachi Asharis on the night of the Seder. When Mamish like Malachim were relaxing. 64 mitzvahs with the matzah, with the mor, with the hallow, with the little Seder, secret Yisrael. V'chulei v'chulei, 64 seven mitzvahs, all the brachas, the brachas amazon, the dalet kosas, the hagodah, you name it, 64 mitzvahs. So then we get to the end of the Seder. Now we're already holding my chatzos. We know chatzos is the time, the tikkun chatzos, it's the zman that's in Eis Ratzon. So you're now holding by the Eis Ratzon. This is the culmination of one of the holiest nights of the year. You just finished 64 mitzvahs, you did afikoman. You're holding by the end of the Seder, by Nirtzah. And you get up to the second to last Emor Chagat. Yo, remember, really, it's a metaphor for all of Jewish history. So what's the last song we all sing together before Chagat? Yo, Echad Miyodeo. Okay, I know we're all tired, but as for Avraham Gurwitz, we're all going back now to first grade. We just finished the holiest night of the year. Let's go back to first grade. Okay, everybody, who knows one? Oh, one is Elokeinu Shemayim. It's okay. Who knows two? Two are the Shnei Lechos HaBris. And three, tough question here. 50 points. Who knows three? The others. Four, the most. Five, Chamisha Chumshei Torah. Seven, who doesn't know the answers? Of course we know the answers. What do we do? We go back to first grade on the holiest night of the year? By Chatzos? How do you understand Echad Miyodeo? Explains our Avraham Gurwitz beautifully. He says a person goes to a therapist. A therapist wants to see what's on this person's mind. How is this person thinking? Holds up a number, holds up a symbol. Tell me what's the first thing that comes to mind. Two kids. They could be playing a game with different colors, cards. What's the first thing? What does this remind you of? What is occupying your mind? He says, that's what we're doing at the end of the Seder. We're giving each other a test. And the same way Rav Gustman, Rabbi Saul Zev Gustman, and Chaim Shalovitz, they used to have a chavrus and grow in the yeshiva. And they used to learn very late at night. They had a Seder that went from about 12 at night until 1:30, 2 o'clock in the morning. When they would get tired, 2 o'clock in the morning or so, they would play a game. And what was the game? Rav Gustman would say to Chaim Shalovitz, okay, Daf Chav Beis. Tell me every Daf Chav Beis and Shas. And he would tell them what's on every Daf Chav Beis and Shas. He'd say, okay, Rav Gusman, tell me what's on every Daf Lam and Gimel and Shas. And he'd tell them the highlights every day. And that was the game when they were tired. And but that would be the game to test whether they were still holding in Shas. That was the game that they played. So right, Avraham Gurwitz, we're giving ourselves a test now at the end of the Seder. At the end of such a night of so many mitzvahs and such holiness, oh, we should be holding by that madrega, that if I hold up a one, what's the first thing that comes to your mind? What's the only thing that comes to your mind? There only is one, not to whether it's I have a fur coat or I have a special diamond necklace. It's only Echad Elokei Shamayim. If I hold up a two, what's two? Not how many cars I have in my driveway. There only is one, two, the Shnei Lechos HaBris. If I hold up a five, what's that? It's not how many outfits I bought last month. There only is one, five. The one, five is Chamisha Chum Sheitaira. When can we answer that? Only by the end of a Seder. And we're so mizdavik with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. And we got so holy after hours of doing all these mitzvahs and after all the secrets. It's fine, we get to a matrega. Then when I ask you about the numbers, what's the first thing that comes to your mind? And the only thing that should come to your mind, that's the test of Echad Miyodeo. That's the test of where we're really holding in our Yiddishkeit. Lela Seder, when we see things with a clarity, Pokeach Ivre, Maver Sheina, we can open up our eyes and see the truth. That's what takes place on the night of the Seder. So borrowing that idea, Shlomo Melech, and you see a slew of psukim by Rav Hirsch, all throughout Sefer Mishlei, is constantly deriding and disparaging the meat of Atzlos. Shlomo was someone who became king at a young age, 12 years old, and what happens? He becomes the ruler over the world that he's working day in and day night, day in and day out, always working, always doing, always accomplishing, and thus looking down condescendingly on the meat of Atzlos. So he's focusing on Atzlos, and then what's the nefesh or miyo? Rabbeinu Yonah told us we're talking more in the sense of productivity and ruchnius and gashmius. And a melech, if you think you're going to be active, but you're going to be deceitful, you're going to go hungry, meaning you're not going to see at the end result, you're not going to be successful. But Rav Hirsch makes more of a direct correlation of the latter half of the pasuk with the first part. He brings these psukim together, and then writes Rav Hirsch as follows. Particularly interesting is the term remia, repeatedly used in Mishlei to signify the opposite of industry. Industry, zrizus, alacrity and zeal. The opposite is not always laziness. Very often it is remia. What's remia? This expression continues a verse, which is usually found in an ethical connotation, meaning deceit. is here used in an economic context as the opposite of industry, thus meaning sloth, idleness, negligence, etc. And in truth, the person who does not spend his life in the spiritual and physical powers which were bestowed upon him for their manifest person, purpose, does commit deceit. What's the deceit? You're deceiving yourself and you're deceiving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He betrays the sacred charge and opportunity entrusted to him. He betrays his maker who grants him his strength by failing in the duty which is expected from him in return. And he betrays the world which his actions should benefit. Consequently, and the very air that a lazy person breathes can be considered theft. He's stealing the air, the oxygen. Why? Because Hashem made you alive for a purpose, to accomplish a goal. You have your own specific tafkid in this world, and that's the connection, writes of Hirsch. If you're going to be a lazy person, not only are you going to be looking to go to sleep, always to and be immersed in that deep slumber, but never, Shemiel, you become a deceitful person because you're stealing from your maker and the rest of the world. You're robbing the world of its productivity that's supposed to come al yodcha. And in addition, God gave you and assigned you a specific and honorable task, and you're not doing that, Tirov, you're going to go hungry. Hashem says, and I don't have to feed you. Hashem is posech hasidecha, umasfil l'chokhai rotz, and I gave you a promise, I'm going to feed you, take care of me. You take care of my world, and I'll take care of you to give you strength so you can continue accomplishing my world. If you're not doing your part, Hashem says, and I don't have to do my part, and I don't have to feed you. And that was the relationship we had. And at the end of the day, if you're not taking care of my world, I don't have to take care of yours. Continue Shlomo posech tesai. Shomer mitzvah, shomer nafsho. Someone who is shomer the mitzvah, someone who safeguards the mitzvahs. Shomer nafsho ultimately protects and safeguards his soul. His soul writes Rabbi Yonah in Olam Hazeh. We're talking in an Olam Hazeh context. So therefore Rabbi Yonah continues the thought. If you want to know how to protect your soul, what should you be doing with that energy? What should you be doing with that zeal? What does it mean to be industrious? Industrious, enthusiastic in mitzvahs. Psochem daftal adam alv zrisim akdim in the mitzvahs. And that's why Pesach is the beginning of the latest Ha'am. And notice, what is the whole context? We are formed as a nation, and the Yontif on the heels of Pesach. What is Pesach all about? Pesach, the word means dilug, skipping. Skipping, hopping, and jumping. Keep moving. Keep growing, keep skipping, hopping. How do we get out of Yetzias Mitzrayim? I want you to run out. I don't want you to even wait for the bread to rise. What's that? A matzah is you got to watch the time. 18 minutes, you got to run out. You don't even wait for the bread to rise. As Rizus, the whole source of Rizim Makdim in the Mitzvahs, is actually learned to wear in Meseches Pesachim by Avraham Avinu, who interestingly enough corresponds to the Yontif of Pesach. Pesach is all about moving, hurrying. We do everything in a rush. All the work. And that is the idea of the formation and the foundation of Am Yisrael is in the context of watching our Zman and being zealous and filled with alacrity and enthusiasm, running, moving, always accomplishing. You mentioned that story of a Rav. I heard this years ago, a Rav who came out to the Midwest after the war, and he wanted to know if his neighbor was a Yid. And he went on a Sunday morning, and he went to say Shalom Aleichem, good morning, to his neighbor, who was sitting out in a rocking chair in his front porch. So he saw that the neighbor didn't have a sefer. He says, well, maybe he's reading something. He looked, and he saw he wasn't reading a book, wasn't reading a magazine, a newspaper, nothing in his hands. So he went over to his neighbor, and he said, Mr. So-and-so. He says, Tamar, what are you doing? He says, Rabbi, I'm doing nothing. He says, here, but you're reading something? He says, no, I'm not reading anything. You're listening to music? And I said, are you thinking about something, Rabbi? I'm not thinking about nothing. I'm doing nothing. I'm just chilling. I'm doing nothing. And that's when he realized he's not Jewish. Because a Jew is always learning a sefer or reading a newspaper, a magazine, a book. And if the person's not reading, then at least you're thinking about something. A Jew's mind is always on the move, always on the go. That's how he knew his neighbor wasn't Jewish. That's the idea of, got to be moving there, got to keep going. But right to Ben Yonah. So what does it mean? Where should you put your kolchos? If you want to guard your soul in this world, I do mitzvahs, and that is giving for Hashem. Hashem's going to reciprocate accordingly, and Hashem will give you back. Bozei derachav ayumas. But someone who scorns, who's mevase, who disparages and ridicules at derachav his ways, meaning the upright and the proper ways, ayumas, it's going to lead him to death in this world. Meaning God's going to say, that's it, you're scorning the proper way, you're not doing mitzvahs, I'm leaving you up to this world, I'm taking you out of the ashkocha. That's the worst punishment you can have, not to be tachas ashkocha sabore. If you're not interested in doing mitzvahs, which means what? Connecting to God. A mitzvah denotes a command. But its connotation, writes the Maral, mitzvah comes from the word litzavos, to attach, to join. Bitzavsa means in the company with. Mitzvah, writes the Maral in a number of places, is the means, the emtsoi, through which we become mitzvah. So you want to be in the company of God? You do mitzvah. You want to attach yourself to your Creator? You attach yourself ayidei a mitzvah. If you attach yourself to Hashem, who is the source of all life, and Shomanavsho, that's what we find in the Torah. Hashem says, I gave you a sechayim yasamaves, ubacharta b'chayim. I want you to choose life, because a lot of people aren't choosing life. Choose life. What's the real life? A life of mitzvahs. And don't ridicule the proper ways of Hashem. Such a person will be left up to regular norms of society. A humas that's going to lead him to death. And that's Rabbeinu Yonah. The Gro writes in his Perush, you know, it's a reference on a ruchnistic plane. To Olam Haba. Shomer mitzvah, shomer nafsho, you're protecting yourself for the next world. Meaning we just talked about this world. And now it's the Gro. If you want to guard your soul, not just in this world, by being productive, you want to guard your soul for pleasure in the next world, and make sure to do mitzvahs. And if you're going to be both a drachav, and then you must, and you're going to die in the next world. And that's how the Malbim learns as well. The Malbim learns we're talking about in Ruchnius, writes the Malbim. Lefnei Adam Shnei Drachim. You have the Derech HaChaim and the Derech HaMavis. You're at a crossroads. You could choose the way of life, or Chalila, the way of death. Any Yodeya Beis HaDerech Yelech. You don't know where should you go? Because there's a Derech Yashar Lefnei Yish, and that leads to Mavis. There's a Derech Yashar that leads to Chaim. So you have to find what? The mitzvahs are those markers on the road to direct you. Which direction should you take in life? That's what's going to be Shomer Nafsho, Vala Boza Drochov. And you don't care about the ways of God, but you're going to go after your Darkei Libo, your own Titus, your own lost greeds and desires. And then Yomus, Mises, and Nefesh, you're killing your soul. Not that you're going to die in this world, you're destroying your soul in this life. So we talked about the previous Pasuk. You're going to be hungry. You're going to be without Hatzloch and Siyata Deshmaya. If you're going to gain things illicitly by double dealing and deceit, Ella what? So what should you be engaged in? And that's why he goes right away to take that energy, take that enthusiasm and excitement, and put it into the mitzvahs, and that's going to give you the Shemira. And that brings us to a beautiful part of the Chavetz Chaim. Chavetz Chaim writes, it's in the Chavetz Chaim on the Torah, it's also in the Sefer Pnina Mishulchan Gavoa. And Yaakovina, we know, sends a message to his brother Esav in the beginning of Parshas Vayishlach. I'm loving Garti. So what's Garti? Loving Garti, Atari Gemitza Shamarti, Vilolamati, Mimai Sevarot. So the Chavetz Chaim and others asked the question, if you already conveyed the message that you kept all Tariq Mitzvahs, Tariq Mitzvah Shamarti, doesn't that automatically include that Lolamati Mimai Sevarot? Obviously, I didn't learn from his evil ways. If I had learned from his evil ways, I wouldn't have been able to fulfill the Tariq Mitzvahs. So it's moving my Elam. It's axiomatic. If I was Makayim all the Tariq Mitzvahs, then it's already inclusive that I didn't learn from his evil ways. So what's the Hemsha? Explain the Chavetz Chaim. Yaakov was mourning himself. He was rebuking himself. He said, I look at the excitement and the enthusiasm that Lavan puts into his duplicity. Look at his energy and verve and dynamism, that he, how excited he gets every time he deceives me. If he's deceiving me with such excitement, why didn't I learn from his bad ways to take all that excitement and channel it into my learning? I should be as excited about my tithe mitzvahs as he is by his double dealing. So that's the message. Esav, you should know, I didn't become the big tzaddik you I thought that I might become. Tariq mitzvah shamati, so I have a shemira. I want you to know, you can't go ahead and touch me because I kept the tariq mitzvahs. But what? But you should know, don't have to be jealous of me. Alolamati, I didn't learn from his evil ways. I didn't learn from his excitement and put that same excitement and enthusiasm into my mitzvahs. And that, I believe, especially like the girl in the Malbim, as the Hemshech over here, a lazy person is always sleeping. Alawat, I'm going to take my energy and I'm going to be deceitful in business, etc. And you're not going to be matzliach. So where should you take and channel all that energy? Be shomer all the mitzvahs you can. That's going to give the greatest mirror to your nefesh. Don't be bozed rachav. Go out of your way and channel that excitement and enthusiasm into all the mitzvahs. And then you'll be matzliach both in olam hazeh and olam haba. So now you follow the path. You follow the instructions. and you were matzliach. You didn't go hungry, and you didn't go to sleep. You were a zoris, you were not an otzel, and you accomplished and you were successful. What should you do with that money? Continue Shlomo, malvei Hashem chonein dal. If you're a person who is chonein dal, who is always malachay, always giving graciously, with favor, to the dal, to the lowly, to the poor and impoverished, then malvei Hashem. It's as if what? It's as if you're actually lending money to Hashem. Why? Because Hashem gave a promise that I'm going to support everyone. I'm going to go on ahead and be mafarnis everyone. I'm going to sustain everyone. Hashem says, if you're the, as the Rabbag and others write, how do you shmuchim the makom? Hashem says, I have many ways of getting everybody their money. If you're going to help me out by giving tzedakah to these people, and knows you're helping me out, you're doing my job for me, Hashem says, I consider as if you lend me money. Because Hashem's job is, I got to get everybody money. But if the Jews are taking care of their friends and their neighbors, Hashem says, you know what? It's as if you're lending me the money, and because you're taking care of my responsibility for me, you're acting as my Mashiach. What am I therefore going to do? Ugemulo yeshalem bo. What's gemul? Very interesting. Gemul is not some the remuneration, the compensation, the payment of the debt. I'm not just going to give you your money back. We know the famous Balaturim. When we give tzedakah in the beginning of Kisisa, v'nosnu, everyone's going to give v'nosnu, vav nun, sof nun, vav. It's of course a palindrome. It's spelled forward and backwards. Your money is going to come back. Know the Mefarshim say, not only is your money going to come back, gemul is the lotion of schar, the hind of reward. Not just, Hashem should just say, if it's as if you're letting me the money, Hashem says, it's as if you're letting me the money, don't worry, I'm going to pay you back. I'm going to give you back all the money you gave, all the stuff to the poor people. I'm going to return it to you eventually. No. Gemulo yishalim lo. I'm going to give you back your money, and I'm going to give you schar for helping me out. For doing my job for me, I'm going to give you additional schar, compounding interest, keilu, on the money you gave to me, but it's more. What is malva? Not only are you lending Hashem, malva, the idea the morale says is, you're being malva, you're accompanying Hashem, you're escorting Hashem, you're attaching yourself to Hashem, apam yelaveni ishi, you're escorting your Hashem, you're going to be together. Hashem says, those are the people I want to bring with me. Those people carrying out my work and doing things for me, I am going to allow them to be together with me. The Gemara Brochus Yechas Malach actually brings this pasuk, telling us that we have to focus on Levayas Ameis. That even if you don't have money to give to the poor, but there's always a ches and a ches shalom, as everyone can do, by escorting who are the poor people, the people that are poor in mitzvahs and Torah because they can't learn or daven anymore because they passed away. But doing a ches shalom is going to a Levaya. A Levaya is called a Levaya, being Malav Ameis, escorting the hearse. Going and walking the first steps, being Malav is an Indian of Levaya Sameis, is attaching yourself and doing a chesed, even if you're not blessed with the financial resources, so to Amir Hashem says, and that's how the person I'm going to give them reward. So that's the idea of Malvi Hashem Chonindal, O Gemula Yishalim Lo, I'm going to give them other additional schal as well. That's the Vilna Gaon writes, that no Saint Stokaloni O Evian Osa Shnei Dvar. As someone who performs the act of tzedakah to a poor person, Evyon is someone who's even poor. Evyon connotes a sense of avi. He's always desiring and longing. He has mamash, nothing at all to eat. You're helping out such people. What are you doing? Number one is nosi namona lizalosa. You're giving your money to help out somebody else. Hasheni shemit lizalosa ani mashalosa no beis tzarko. V'goma chesedita. What are you doing? You're giving your money to someone else, and you're also benefiting him. And that what, Mashiach, you're giving him in a time of need, and you're doing an act of chesed. So you're giving over of your money, that's Mavi Hashem Chonindal. Hashem says that it's not a matan eskinam. I want you to know I'm going to pay you back. Ugamulo, and because you were gomel chesed, because you did an act of chesed, not just did you give him money, but you did a chesed with him because you gave him money when he needed the money, Yishalim lo ba'atzev b'nayat, so I'm going to pay you back separately. Because every time you give the ani money, what are you doing? You're giving somebody who asked for money, so you're doing what he asked for, you're giving up your money, you're parting with your money. That's difficult. To part with your money yourself is an avoda. You part with your money to give it to someone else who asked for it. But if you really needed it, and now you did a gemalik yachesed by helping pull him out of his time of need, and then one Hashem says, so that's why I'm going to pay you up as number one, to give you your money back, but you were gomel, an act of gemilas chasodim within, therefore I'm going to give you what? Gemulo. I will give you back an act of gemilas chasodim. I'm going to give you payback above and beyond the money.
Does this apply only to giving to a poor person or also to a cause like a yeshiva or a shul?
So again, there are different parameters. Maisa, for example, tzedakah is that any institution, anything that needs money, any poor person, any institution that needs money to continue doing their acts of chesed, that'll be a fulfillment of the mitzvah tzedakah. Maisa, the post can say, has to be directed towards aniyim and or inyanei talmud Torah. So a person has to realize, Maisa, giving to, well, let's say, an organization that's going to go ahead and buy toys to stam give out toys. To give out toys to poor person, people, is one thing. But let's say an organization that's stam going to give out toys to a community of a chulei. That could be tzedakah. You're helping out that organization, which is a worthy cause. So that would be a fulfillment of tzedakah. But Maisa has to go to aniyim, to people who mamash need the money, or to inyanei talmud Torah. That's where Maisa is supposed to be geared towards.
What if you're giving toys for sick children?
So again, sick children, those families that need the money to pay the medical bills, that would be a kim of Maiser. But if it's a family that has money and you're, let's say, going to the hospital and you're going to buy an extra toy that the parents can easily afford, you just want to bring an additional happiness, that's an act of tzedakah that you did, but it's not a kim of Maiser. If the family doesn't need the money, it's not a fulfillment of Maiser, but if a person gets schar, it's a gewaltig mitzvah tzedakah.
Take care of your own first.
That's a separate halacha within the parameters of hilchos tzedakah. We have halacha in Yerodeah that says you have to take care of aniyei yircha, even within aniyei yircha, aniyei shchenoscha, people in your neighborhood, you have to take care of before people in other neighborhoods. 100%. And mibasarcha tesalei, not only children, but family members. And hilchos tzedakah, your family members come before anybody else. Baruch Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva, and it's based on Nocha Shulchan. Ramosha writes that even though halacha maisa, you have to give your family members first, you should never give away more than 50%. And meaning what? That means that if you have, let's say, $1,000 to give away, your family comes first. But if you give away all the $1,000 that you have, let's say, in maisa, and you're going to give it all the way to the family, Ramosha says there are two problems. Number one is, it's a maras ayin. Because if the local yeshivas, bata kinesis and bata midrashas, and the local causes that need the money, they see that you're not giving any money. So people say, hey, how come this person isn't giving any money? It's maras ayin, and it's going to cause other people not to give as much money. So it's not going to look good. People are going to think that you're not caring about your local institutions. Number two is that, how do you know where hatzlocha is going to come from? Maybe it's important to help out this institution. Maybe you need a tikkun by giving money to this yeshiva. And therefore, Moshe says, up to 50% you give to your relatives, because that's the first requirement. And beyond the 50% mark, you should spread out to other different causes. So, continues Shlomo. Yaseh bincha ki yesh tikva, avel hamiso atisa nafshecha. Right, Shlomo Melch, Yaseh bincha, Yaseh loshen musar. About what? El hamiso atisa nafshecha. Do not go ahead and burden your soul with his protest. Rashi understands, Yaseh is not just I'm giving musar. But it means musar in the sense of yusurin. It means sometimes you have to punch the child. Sometimes you have to hit. You have to actually do something to the child. But alta keomakas mavas, never hit a child too hard. Never hit a child too hard. But meaning what? Again, it doesn't have to be a physical hit. But it means you have to give rebuke. You have to give reprimand. And in the Dennis Prager Online University, they had a great clip. And that came out a few months ago, where they had a professor who gave a beautiful speech in the two. He said, the most important word that parents need to learn today is the word no. That's the most important word. And he brings countless studies that parents who always say yes, it spoils the children and it messes them up in the future. Parents have to learn to say no. People need rules and regulations. In life, you have to grow up. There have to be parameters. And you have to know when to say no. And that's exactly the kavan in this pasuk. As the Mefarshim point out, and you have to be willing to make a protest. You have to be able to give children musar. Kiyish tikva. Why? Because there's always hope. Never give up on a child. And know that they might wake up to the realization of what the right track is one day. But you never give up. But you can't go ahead and overwhelm yourself and be laden with guilt by all of his protests and his tears and his cries. Parents are knows you have to take the child into the doctor to get better. And the child says, no, mommy, what are you doing to me? I see the shot. How can you do that? And you can't pay attention. Why? Because you know that's good for their gashmias. So too, when it comes to the ruchnias, and you can't go ahead and listen to all their protests. adds the B'nai Shlomo, one of the commentaries here on Mishlei, as another way to read the Pasuk. Yaser Bincha, how do you give your child Musar? Ki Yish Tikva. You tell the child there's always hope. And you always hope a Jew never ever surrenders, never ever gives up. The Gemara says in Brochas Daf Yerim and Aleph, the Gemara says in Moed Katan as well, even if the sword is laying on a person's neck, and you never ever give up. I just had a person this morning after Minyan who came over to me and told me, unfortunately, his father's in the hospital. He doesn't know how much longer his father has to live. I said, you never know. You keep davening every second, every moment is precious. I already have dealt with two or three cases in just the last few years where I've spoken to doctors about end-of-life shilas, where the doctor, and in two of the cases, they were from doctors. They said, Rabbi Feiner, tell the family, I'm ready to just, you know, focus on the quality of life. This person only has 2 or 3 weeks left to live. They're not going to live beyond 2-3 weeks. I'm telling you, that's it. And Lamaisa, that person lived another 8 months. Another person who a doctor called me up, a from doctor in Lakewood. And he called me and said, Rabbi Feiner, talk to this family. I'm telling you, the person has 2 to 3 months left to live. This was 3 years ago. The person's alive today. Because you never know. Rabbi Hirschel, Dr. Hirschel said over years ago when we had a whole gathering of halachic living wills and end-of-life shilas, and he said he has countless stories, including one in his oncology ward, and where the doctors got together and they said, this girl has 6 months left to live, max. He says the girl lived another 6 years. And why? Because you never ever give up. Things sometimes don't make sense. And I heard a story from someone in the shul who told me that he was visiting his grandfather. His grandfather was in a coma for several weeks, attached to a respirator. And the doctors told the family it's a matter of time. He says he was the one in the hospital. His parents weren't there. He was the one in the hospital when all of a sudden, after several weeks in a deep coma, his grandfather woke up. All of a sudden, out of the blue, and the doctors thought he would never wake up. He woke up, and he started pulling on the respirator. And he couldn't understand what was going. He says he pulled the respirator. The doctors said they couldn't believe it. They saw he was up. And they detached the respirator from him. He says, a few hours later, he was sitting up in bed. And he lived, again, not a very long time. He lived another 3 months, but 3 months of quality of life. He was able to learn. He was able to take walks. And the doctors have said it was just a matter of shutting down. It's not going to happen. Why? You never give up. You never know. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has tons of cheshbonos. There's always tikva. Say, Yahweh, you say, how can I give this to some Muslims? Yes, tikva. You never know. The child could come back. We know countless stories. People will come back years later. I had a student in Eish HaTorah in my shiur for a while. I had mostly a Balei Tshuva who were from for a number of years. Young men in their 20s. Some in their 30s. But one student of mine was someone who grew up in Muncie and a regular from home. He went completely off the derech. Completely off the derech for several years. Ultimately, one day, he just woke up and said, I know that the emes is in Yiddishkeit. The emes is in observant Judaism. I'm coming back. He came back to Eish HaTorah. And today, and I even just met him again on Hanukkah time, a former student of mine. Baruch Hashem, happily married. He has several children. And he works. He has a great parnasa in Yerushalayim HaKodesh. And he learns several hours a day. He's an Erel Chayyid, Baruch Hashem. And his parents thought, forget it, it's over. He went completely off the derech. And on his own, he came back in his 20s. And you never, never know. Ki yesh tikva. And there always is hope. You can never, ever give up. And now the Vilna Gaon understands the Pasuk differently. Not Yaseh Bincha, ki yesh tikva. And therefore, always give the children Musar, because there's always hope, right? So they grow up. Ki is Loshen Kasher. And when should you go ahead and give your child Musar? Only when Kasher Atarosh Yesh Tikva Bazeh Shetiasreyo Sheyit Drocha. Which means what? Doesn't mean to always posh, always rebuke the children. It means, and when you see that it'll do something, and that they'll learn the lesson, that's when you should give them Musar. But don't go ahead. He says, Al-Hamiso doesn't mean don't kill him, don't give him a hakah. Adayish Ramiso, it means what? Don't scream. Hamiso is not Loshen Miso, writes the girl. Al-Hamiso is, El-Hamiso is protest, his screams. That means what? No matter how much he's screaming, that means what? Don't pay attention. If you feel there's hope, and then go out and act on that hope. Anytime you feel that there's a golden moment, seize the moment. Ki yishtikva, kasher yishtikva. When you get the child at the right moment, at the right time, at the right place, and that's when you should go ahead and give the musar, and don't worry about the protest, etc. Like one comedian once showed, what's so great about a 5-year-old child is, And even after you scream at them, and even after you hit them, and even after they go crazy, there's nothing that can't be cured with a crazy straw and a cup of chocolate milk. I could go from the worst day to the best day. And the end of the day, if there's a moment, you seize the moment, and then you appease after. And you go and you calm the child down. But a child has to know the rules, the regulations, and you can't always listen to the protests, you can't listen to the cries. And one final pasuk for today, Gerau, is the ksiv, but the kri is Gedal Chemonosiona. She goes back to Kas, and that, of course, is the outflow. I just told you about giving Musar, but I want you to know that when you're giving Musar, whether it's a physical patch, or whether it's the Musar, the rebuke, Bechulei, I never get angry. It's got to be what? You could show the outer anger on your face, but never be angry inside. Because Gedal Chemonosi Onish. He just told us, El Amiso Tisan Hashachal. Don't carry the burden. Don't overwhelm yourself with his screams and his cries and his protests. But you know what you will carry. You will carry. And you will have to bear an Onish, a punishment, if Gedal Chema. If you get too angry, if you're filled with wrath. And that's why it's not Stam Kas. Chema is, what is Chema? Kas is anger. Chema is a more intense anger. Someone so indignant. Chema is Lashon Chamimus. Chamimus is you're enraged. Your mom is getting hot. You're getting passionate about it. That's af v'chema. Where's that? In the nose, right? The smoke is coming out. Heat. Out of the smoke, you're fuming. That's Chamimus. That's Charon af. That's the Chema. This is a Chamimus. If Gedal Chema, if you're letting your wrath get the better of you and you're getting too angry, you're going to have to carry the punishment. Kiem Tansil V'otosif. Even if you rescue the victim, what's that going to do? That only adds on to the person who's angry. You see a parent getting upset, a child. And what are you going to run and take the child away? That's only going to make the parent even more angry. Therefore, you have to make sure how to react to people. The Gemara says in Brochas, I never try to appease a person in that split moment of anger. Hainya Telenya Lo Yachel, the Gemara says, Al Maratzin La'odah Mashas Kaso. Let the person calm down. Don't go ahead and tell them how they're wrong, etc. They're not ready to listen. First, allow them to calm down on their own. First, appease them in the sense of, just let them be cool, calm, and collected, and then you'll explain why what they're doing is wrong. But that's, again, the outflow summary, that laziness only brings to people's downfall, only to too much sleep. We're not productive. Be productive. Be energetic, but don't just put it into Gashmias, put it into Ruchnias, and to doing all the mitzvahs, understand the value and appreciate the mitzvahs, that you want to run to them and do them with an excitement, and now that you're going to be successful, because Hashem's going to reciprocate accordingly, what should you do with that money? If you really want to attach yourself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and then do His job for Him, because you love Him so much, and give the money in its tzedakah, Hashem will give you back not only that money, but He'll give you additional schar. And now when it comes to reacting towards giving that musa to the children who might be lazy, who might not want to get out of bed, I'll wait for a moment when there's hope and tell them how there always is hope. And they can always come back and be greater and never get too angry, because the anger is only going to lead to the downfall. We should be matzliach emet Hashem and have to see after the Shmaya. Have a wonderful day and a great morning.